Hey, it's Ariel Helwani of Ariel Helwani's MMA show. Let me tell you about my good friends over at ESPN Daily. As you know, each and every morning you can wake up to the best story you will hear all day, courtesy of ESPN Daily. 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week, where you can get an inside look at the most interesting stories at ESPN, as told by the top reporters and insiders on the planet. The breaking news of SportsCenter with the deep dive storytelling of 30 for 30. Today's episode is one I thought our listeners would especially enjoy. Please listen and subscribe to ESPN Daily wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
I'm even better than who I was. You know, everyone says we missed the old Conor, the 2016 Conor. But I feel I'm better than that now. I feel I'm matured. I've experienced everything in this business, right?
That was notorious MMA fighter Conor McGregor, doing his best to convince us all that we'll see a return to form in this Saturday's UFC main event against Donald Cerrone. But with 3 years of controversy, troubling behavior, even criminal allegations, are McGregor's battles in the octagon overshadowed by the battles outside of it? It's Friday, January 17th. I'm Dominique Foxworth, filling in today for Mina Kimes. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Indeed. Conor McGregor's back. Like, I don't know. Are we excited about that? Are we trepidatious? Like, what's the feeling that he's coming back to the octagon?
I think that we're a little of all things.
Kevin Van Valkenburg is a senior writer for ESPN.
Conor is the biggest draw in the fight game, and I think that the interest in this fight proves that. But how you feel about him is dependent on how much you care about his behavior outside the ring, which has ranged from mischievous to serious to potentially criminal. And there's a lot of questions, I think, morally about this fight and just how much Conor is doing it simply to kind of change the narrative surrounding him.
So in the lead up to this big fight, you made a trip to Dublin, Ireland, Conor's hometown. What were you trying to find out?
I think what we most wanted to understand is, where is Conor now in his life and in his career? And not only like where he was, what was going on with these allegations that have been published against him, but how people felt about him. Conor was such an iconic figure in Ireland during his rise that we couldn't help but wonder, like, is that still true?
What kind of neighborhood did he grow up in? How was his family?
Where Conor's from has always been sort of a mixture of some dispute. He's from the suburb of Crumlin, which probably 30, 40 years ago was a pretty rough part of Dublin. It was certainly an area where crime and organized crime were rampant. And now, if you kind of ask people about Crumlin, they view it more as a hipstery kind of up-and-coming place. Conor certainly was someone who was around part of the criminal element of Crumlin, but I think to portray it as this war zone, which he has sometimes done, as a way to kind of elevate his own credibility would be inaccurate.
But he was a working class guy. Like, he was on government aid right up until his first big break in fighting, correct?
Conor took an apprenticeship to be a plumber, and he hated it. And he told his father, it's either fighting or nothing. And so he was earning essentially, like, from government assistance, 188 euros a week until he won his first UFC fight, which paid him 60,000 euros. And that was kind of his big break, that he was like, all right, I finally don't have to be on government assistance anymore. I'm actually going to do this for real. Like a lot of fighters, Conor was motivated by what he perceived as his poverty. Now, are there a lot poorer people in the Dublin area than Conor? Yeah, certainly. Did he grow up as like poor as Mike Tyson? Like, no way.
But I mean, he still became like a folk hero to the Irish people. Can you kind of explain how he earned that status?
Boxing is a really important part of Irish culture. They really hang on the Olympic results like every 4 years. If their Olympic fighters, and this is both men and women, don't do well, they're crushed even more so than soccer. And so Conor came up a little bit through that tradition, as it was part of the Crumlin Boxing Club. And he was an average boxer. He wasn't particularly, I would say, skilled. But as fighting became more popular in Ireland, in Great Britain, and in Europe. Conor was more drawn to that, and there really wasn't a way to make a living as a mixed martial arts fighter in Ireland before Conor. He made it possible, like this dream was real. He echoed working class, and that made a lot of people really proud. That made a lot of Irish people feel like this is our avatar for the new century, the new era of Ireland.
Hold on, you said humble and Conor McGregor in the same sentence?
Yeah, it's hard to believe now, but in the beginning, Conor was seen as kind of this funny but more humble figure. We talked to this Irish writer, Ewan McKenna, who met him at a McDonald's right after he won his first big fight. And Conor didn't even have a car back then. He had sort of jogged to there, and he was super, you know, funny and polite and sort of friendly. And, you know, he was confident in his skills as a fighter, but wasn't this kind of outlandish Steve Austin type character. And what happened as things went on is that Conor learned the best way for him to move up within the UFC and make a lot of money was to blend the lines between what was kind of a WWE style character and an actual fighter.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
When did the kind of hyping persona start to show itself?
So back in the early part of Conor's career, he kind of started to understand that the best way for him to promote himself was to not only use social media, but to kind of get some of his early fans to sort of help him out and to sort of encourage them to talk him up. And UFC president Dana White went to Dublin in 2013 to basically get an award from like Trinity College for something. Some of the people in UFC, they kind of invited Conor out to dinner and were like, well, I don't know if this guy can fight, but if he can fight at all, he is going to be an absolute superstar because he has charisma out the eyeballs.
Hell, I'm the champion, King of Dublin. I'm the world champion. You're looking at the King of Dublin, yeah? You're looking at him. Look at him.
And so it's really kind of through his personality that he managed to get various kind of bigger and bigger bouts until he talked his way right up into getting a title fight.
What's been the high point of his career in the octagon?
When Conor McGregor fought Jose Aldo, I think there were still a lot of doubts just about whether this guy was more mouth or more skills. And Jose Aldo is sort of this legendary figure within fighting. You know, he came from this Gracie tradition in Brazil, and everyone thought like, okay, this guy is just a lethal fighter. He is going to be able to just absolutely shut this clown up. And when they faced off, there was a huge amount of hype. There's a huge amount of pay-per-view buys.
Here we go!
Green trunks for the southpaw, the notorious Conor McGregor. Black trunks for the champion, Jose Aldo Jr.
And they walked towards one another. They had been all this animosity, all this trash talk leading up to the fight. And Conor caught him with a nasty hook 13 seconds into the fight, and Aldo dropped to the canvas. And it was just like, oh my gosh, this guy talked the talk and walked the walk.
The new undisputed featherweight champion of the world, Conor McGregor.
During the high times, as he won around the world, what was Conor McGregor's relationship with his homeland?
Irish people by nature, and they'll tell you this, so whether you believe it or not, but that they're sort of humble, they're about family, they're, you know, they were sort of told to be reserved and stuff. And Conor was not that. Conor, especially as he's got more famous, was someone who was very much about, I'm the king.
We're not here just to take part. We're here to take over.
A lot of people felt like maybe we should celebrate our successes. Maybe we should be more proud of who we are. And maybe Conor is the kind of avatar of that part of us. He can kind of represent our id.
So things started to change, though, when Conor started seeking a fight with the boxer Floyd Mayweather. So he steps outside of his own sport and he opens up a whole new door of controversy. What's the story behind this fight before they entered the ring?
One thing about that you can say about Conor is whether you kind of buy into whether he's one of the greatest fighters of all time, he is certainly one of the greatest people at promoting fights. And with that came, I think, some really complicated morality. Conor, I understood that some of the appeal of like Rocky versus Creed was that it was a black guy versus a white guy. And Conor knew that he wasn't deep down in the same boxing class as Floyd Mayweather. And Floyd Mayweather also knew that. So Conor started to sort of really lean hard into this character. And so in the promotion of this fight, Conor used, I think, a lot of pretty ugly language that for the first time people were like, oh, like, I know this is all like part of the game, but this is kind of making me pretty uncomfortable.
Dance for me, boy. Dance for me, boy. Dance for me, son. Dance for me.
He suggested that, oh, a lot of the media thinks I have a problem with black people.
Do they not know I'm half black? Yeah! I'm half black from the belly button down.
You can see this having played out in the Irish media. There was a lot of people who said, this has gotten to be too ugly to ignore. Conor McGregor doesn't get a pass on his racism simply because he's an incredible athlete, because he's a great fighter, because he's making a lot of money. I think what's a lot of people felt was that Conor began to kind of lose him in this character. You can only play a character for so long before that becomes who you really are.
So I guess in the lead up to that fight, recognizing like fighting's history with using race to sell the fight, was there a constituency that was on Conor's side?
I think that one thing that's interesting and complicated about Conor is that he's always sort of represented a sort of clash of cultures. There is a little bit of nationalism involved in the sort of appeal of fighting, like whether it was the Mayweather fight, whether it was the Khabib fight, like people saw Conor as like this sort of, you know, representative of white identity and of the West.
And then he lost the fight.
That's it.
Robert Byrd has stopped the fight.
He did lead the fight to Mayweather, and I think most people would tell you that one of Floyd Mayweather's great skills has sort of been selling fights. And I think you can look at it from the perspective of, well, it went almost 10 rounds. Like, it was in the 10th round that Floyd scored a TKO.
A tip of the hat to Conor McGregor again, guys. And I would say he did not embarrass himself.
But I would almost bet you that most boxing aficionados would tell you that fight could have been over in 3 minutes and people would have been livid and felt like they got totally ripped off. So what Floyd was willing to do was just kind of let Conor get in a little punches here and there and basically pull off an incredible heist. I mean, people were willing to pay it. We're the suckers in the whole thing, right? Not Floyd and Conor.
Coming up, with all the controversy surrounding Conor McGregor, how is the UFC responding? Kevin, the racist comments are one thing, but he also had a series of criminal allegations.
He did, and that's where I think things started to get even uglier, is that no longer was this character something that Conor just said, but it was sort of playing itself out in things that he was doing. In the build-up to the fight with Khabib Nurmagomedov, not only was Conor sort of using really kind of, you know, awful allusions about Muslims, about, you know, Khabib's manager, he kept referring to him as a terrorist. He came to the Barclays Center in sort of the lead up to one of the UFCs and picked up a dolly, the kind of thing that you used to say would move a refrigerator on wheels. And he threw it through the window of the bus where Khabib and his teammates were. Which caused a couple fighters to have to pull out of that UFC because they were injured by the glass. And Dana White at the time said,
it's the most disgusting thing that has ever happened in the history of the company.
But you could see in some ways like the UFC's hypocrisy, because they would later use those same images to promote the fight when it was time for Conor and Khabib to face one another.
There's the title! Still undisputed! Khabib Nurmagomedov has finished Conor McGregor tonight!
He had an incident in his home country too, right?
He did. So if you ask most people in Ireland, what was it that really began to change their opinion about Conor? What they would tell you is that when there was footage that came out, TMZ acquired it, of him punching an older man in a pub in Crumlin.
This video surfacing Thursday showing the UFC star co-cocking a man at a bar in Dublin, Ireland, April 6th. Just take a look.
Conor came into the pub and was handing out glasses of his personal brand of whiskey. And the guy didn't want to drink it. And he turned down Conor a couple times and said, no, I don't want to drink this whiskey. And Conor turned and just cracked him right in the face. That really made a lot of people be like, this guy is a jerk. This guy is really scummy and we're not going to support him anymore.
The New York Times reported on some even more heinous allegations.
There was clear, if you were in Ireland, that Conor McGregor was being investigated for something, because the Irish papers kept alluding to the Irish superstar being investigated for sexual assault at pub. But the libel laws in Ireland are much different than they are in the U.S. You cannot name the accused or the accuser until there is a conviction, not even just a charge. And so there was always rumors that this was Conor who was the person being investigated by the Irish police. But the Times got four sources to confirm independently that it was Conor who was being investigated for sexual assault. And 6 months after that, they confirmed that he was another sexual assault was he was being investigated for. It's really presenting, I think, a lot of darker allusions to Conor's return.
Where does this leave him and his reputation at home?
I think a lot of people really look at him more as a curiosity, as a bit of a freak show. They feel like he is returning to the ring to change the narrative surrounding him. I would say 99% of the people that we talked to said, Conor is awful. He doesn't represent us. He's an embarrassment. We went there not expecting that. We went there expecting people to sort of still be in his corner. So if he's going to win those people back, it's going to be a longer road, I think, than he thinks.
I have to admit, when I was reading your article, I enjoyed when you stumbled upon an amateur rapper who had released a Conor McGregor diss track.
I mean, that's sometimes the magic of reporting, right? Is you go into a barbershop and you just start asking people about Conor McGregor. And one guy's like, oh, by the way, I have a Conor McGregor diss track that I'd love to play for you. Let me send it to you on WhatsApp.
McGregor, the whole country thinks you're a wanker with the arrogance and money of a Wall Street banker in your pinstripe suit. Who gives about your loot? You used to be cute with your online disputes, but then you lost your flavor quicker than a juicy fruit.
I thought that was like a good window into, this isn't just like educated upper class professionals who are looking down on Conor McGregor and saying like, oh, this guy's awful. This is like, they're scraping together money for the pay-per-views. They're following the fight game. They just see him as kind of a joke. And I think Conor would deny that. Conor would tell you that doesn't exist, but I'll tell you it absolutely does.
In light of all this, the racist remarks, criminal allegations, how has the UFC and its president Dana White handled the controversy and allegations around McGregor?
I think the truth is that Conor makes the UFC a ton of money. Conor is a money printing machine, and until he's no longer viable as a fighter, they're going to continue to use him. You know, we asked Dana in an interview, you know, how can you promote a fight with these allegations hanging over his head? And Dana's response was,
he hasn't been charged with anything. Has Conor made a lot of bad decisions over the last few years? Unbelievable amount of bad decisions. How are you going to stop a guy from making a living when he hasn't been charged?
So in terms of the morality argument, the UFC has always kind of taken a backseat to how much money this person can make us. And everything points to Conor eventually having a rematch with Habib, maybe even by the end of the year. And there would be a huge amount of money that everyone could make from that. And so that's ultimately the god that everyone's going to serve until it becomes untenable.
So let's talk about where things stand now. What could this fight with Cerrone on Saturday do for McGregor's image?
Well, I think it'd just be the first step on the redemption tour. He talked a lot in our interview with Ariel Helwani about how he had such a horrendous camp in the training to face Khabib, that he was drinking all the time. He wasn't training very hard.
I was almost too intense and too serious, and then not working hard enough outside of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You've got to be focused outside, because then the next day rolls around, and if you aren't focused when you left the gym and then it's time to go back, you're not as sharp, you're not as fresh, you're not as eager to be there.
it wasn't where he was at mentally. He just couldn't focus, even though it was really the biggest fight of his life, in part because he'd made so much money and it didn't really matter. It was kind of more about pride than it was about status, and he couldn't summon that. And what he said in build up to this fight is he's got that hunger again. He's willing to really sell out for fighting.
I'm listening to myself and I followed my internal instruction, and it's just given me more passion and more focus and more drive, and I'm doing what I feel I need to do, and it feels good.
Now that he's been humbled a little bit, that he sort of realizes that people have begun to sort of be turned off by the character of Conor McGregor, he's trying to get back to what he was as a fighter. And I think we'll see that power still. The question I would ask is, does Conor still have that speed? Because the combination of the two was really lethal in the ring. And I don't know, as you start to get older, you might still have the strength, but whether you can still combine it with the speed is a tale as old as athletics. The best case scenario is that Conor will sort of return to that person that he was, who was a very skilled, very dedicated fighter. What I think would be more interesting in some ways is if he did lose this fight, where would Conor McGregor go? I imagine he would still try to fight again, but who would be interested? He'd have lost to kind of someone who was completely over the hill as a fighter, and no one would really care about some of his antics. So the character that is Conor McGregor would kind of be dead.
What happens if he wins the fight? What's next?
I think that there'll be at least probably one more fight after this if he does win the fight. Who that would be with, I think he'll have to kind of huddle with various people and see. And everyone knows that he's focused on the rematch with Khabib, who is really the best fighter in the world. He's this unmovable Russian force who is just not only strong, but completely kind of emotionless in this kind of Drago type way. And he handled Conor so easily in the first fight that I think that if there was a rematch, Conor would enter as a huge underdog. But that would just play more into this narrative that Conor wants, is that he has to kind of prove himself. And if he does win, then all of a sudden he's the king of the world again.
I appreciate it. Thanks for taking time with us.
Thanks, buddy.
That's our story for today. I'm Dominique Foxworth. This has been ESPN Daily. Mina will be back on Monday.